In our study of the 23rd Psalm, we come this morning to the third verse. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The restoration of the soul. I can imagine someone who heard last Sabbath morning's sermon with this message of the Good Shepherd's leading to green pastures and by still waters, saying, that may be true, but it's not for me. I have turned away from the Good Shepherd, and I have no claim on his promise and his gift of green pastures and quiet waters. There were times in David's experience when he could very well have thought like that. For he, more than once, had turned away from the Good Shepherd. But David found an answer to that. And so can you and I. Here it is. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. There is the answer to anyone who feels that the green pastures and the quiet waters are not for him. There are three things that I want to underline in our study of this verse. Under three words, restoration, direction, and motivation. And first of all, restoration. He restoreth my soul. And quite literally it is, he brings my soul back. And that can be taken in different senses, according to our different needs. We've just been singing Psalm 19. And the same word that's translated restore here in Psalm 23 is used there in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. So one translation of this verse of Psalm 23 renders it, he converts my soul. And there's a message there for the man who's never turned to the Lord. The man who has turned to his own way and has never turned back. Now let me make it quite clear that such a man can never turn back by himself. Perhaps he thinks that one day he'll be able to do so when he decides to do it. But he cannot do it by himself. No man can turn back to God by himself. But thank God there is a power that can make him turn and enable him to turn. There is a power that can convert him. And we praise God for that. The writer of another shepherd psalm was very much aware of his need and the need of his people to turn to God. And he was equally aware of the fact that he could not turn by himself. And so, three times in Psalm 80, will you turn for a moment to that psalm? Three times in Psalm 80, we find this prayer. Turn us again. In verse 3, in verse 7, and in verse 19. Turn us. Turn us again. And literally, it's cause us to turn. And we shall be saved. In verse 3, in verse 7, and in verse 19 of another shepherd psalm, Psalm 80, because it begins, give ear, O shepherd of Israel. And it's worth noting in passing how the writers of this psalm's prayer intensifies as the psalm goes on. Look at verse 3. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Look at verse 7. and the difference. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. He's thinking now of God as the God of hosts, the God of mighty power, because he knows it's going to take all that power to turn us. And then in verse 19, turn us again, O Lord God of hosts, cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. And the name Lord that's added now is the covenant name of God, the name by which he has bound himself to save his people. You see how the prayer grows in intensity? Turn us back, O God. Turn us back, O God of hosts, for only thy mighty power can do it. Turn us back, O Lord God of hosts, for thou hast covenanted and promised to do it. Perhaps there's someone here this morning whose basic need is the basic restoration of the soul. Will you pray this three times repeated prayer of Psalm 80? Turn me back. Turn me back, O God. O God of hosts, O Lord God of hosts, turn me back. And when he does, and he has covenanted to do it, then you'll be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. He converts my soul. But there's a message too for the person who's drifted away from the good shepherd. Like the sheep, enticed by what seem to be always greener pastures, that has wandered away from the shepherd. So the world and the things of the world have caused you to drift away. You never thought it would happen, but it has. You've drifted away from the good shepherd. Well, here's the message of this verse for you. It can be translated, he causes my life to return. Thank God that restoration of soul is possible for the penitent backslider. And again, the prayer to pray is the prayer of Psalm 80. Turn us back again, O Lord God of hosts, and we shall be saved. There is renewal. There is the restoration of the years that the locusts have eaten. There is revival and renewal for someone who has drifted away. He brings back my soul again. And then there's a message too for the person who has grown weary with the conflict or with the task. Because another possible translation is, he refreshes my soul. As with food and drink, we find it elsewhere, that kind of refreshment referred to in the Bible. He refreshes my soul. And perhaps there's someone here whose spiritual life has grown weary and listless. When everything has become a burden. Well, here's the message of this verse for you. He refreshes. He revives my soul. And how does it come? How does it happen? Well, we've just been singing in Psalm 19 one way. Psalm 19 tells us that it comes through the word. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring or converting the soul. And there's a wonderful verse in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 13, which reminds us that the word that restores the soul is a message of good news. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, and that means just the cooling effect of it, as the cold of snow in the time of harvest, the refreshing effect of it, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he restores the soul. A faithful messenger, bringing good news, restores the soul of those who hear his message. How does restoration of soul comes? It comes always through the good news of the gospel. Would you receive it now? Would you take from the good shepherd's hand the restoration that you need today? Maybe the new life that you've never had. The conversion that you've never experienced. Maybe the restoration from backsliding that you need. Maybe the reviving that your weary soul cries out for. When you can say, the Lord is my shepherd, you can go on to say, he restoreth, he converteth, he reneweth, he reviveth my soul. Restoration. Thank God for it. Second word we underline is the word direction. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. He leadeth me. Again and again in the Old Testament, there are references to God's leading of his people, particularly to the way in which he led them through the wilderness. Again and again we find the writers of the Old Testament going back to that. He led us. He led us through the wilderness. There were impossible difficulties to be faced. There was an impossible journey to make. And yet he led them. And he provided for them. And he protected them in all their journeying. And his leading brought them to their desired haven. Psalm 107 tells of God's dealings with those who go down to the sea in ships and who do business in great waters. The verses describe in a tremendously vivid way the rising of a storm at sea, and then go on to describe how he makes the storm into a calm. And then this same word is used. He leads them unto their desired haven. You see, the Lord's leading means not only care and provision and guidance throughout the whole journey. It means a safe and sure arrival at the last. His leading means guidance and provision and care. It means a safe arrival. And it means more. It means his control. It's significant that this same word, he leadeth me, in Psalm 23, in Psalm 67 in verse 4, is translated, thou shalt govern the nations upon earth. This same word, thou shalt govern the nations. You see, the Lord's leading means the Lord's control, the Lord's governing of our lives. And we find that same thought in the very familiar passage we read in John chapter 10, in the end of verse 3 and verse 4. He calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. The control of the good shepherd, as well as the leading of the good shepherd. The good shepherd leads, the sheep obey and follow. He leadeth me. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. And that means two things. It means he leads me in right paths, and it means he leads me in paths of righteousness. He leads me in right paths. The expression paths of righteousness is parallel to an expression that's translated in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 36, just balances, literally balances of righteousness. It's commanding people that their balances should be right balances, balances of righteousness. And I want to say to you from God's word today, however hard sometimes it is to understand it and believe it, the paths in which God leads his people are right paths. Now it may not always seem to us like that. When the way is hard and difficult, when the way is testing and sore, but some of us looking back can see that even the hard experiences, even the things that were sorest to bear, even there, the Lord was leading us in right paths. But they're more than right paths, they're paths of righteousness. When our souls are restored, whether that means converted, or renewed, or refreshed, it is that we should walk in righteous ways. You see, that's the evidence of a restored soul, A life lived in conformity with God's standard. If we are restored, then we'll walk in paths of righteousness. We can't do it by ourselves. But the promise is sure, He will lead me in paths of righteousness. Professor Douglas Macmillan of the Free Church College in Edinburgh, in a fine little book on the 23rd Psalm, written from his own experience for many years as a shepherd before he became a minister. Professor Douglas Macmillan writes, "A sheep does not make straight tracks for itself. If you see sheep walking in a straight line, you can be sure of one thing. The shepherd is leading them." And the challenge comes to me, and the challenge comes to you this morning. Does the righteousness of our lives, the straightness of our lives, show that we are being led by the Good Shepherd? He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. That's the evidence that the Good Shepherd has restored our souls. We're walking in a straight path. And the third word that we underline is motivation. First word, restoration. Second word, direction. Third word, motivation. Why does the Good Shepherd do all this? Making us lie down in green pastures and leading us by still waters, restoring our soul and leading us in paths of righteousness. Why does He do it? For our sake, certainly. For all the wonder of His love for us, that we might have all this that He gives for our sakes. And yet there is a deeper motivation than that. The end of the verse. Even for His own name's sake. Not simply for our sakes, but for His. Even for His own name's sake. The Good Shepherd does all that He does for His sheep for the sake of His own good name. You see, it's a serious reflection on a shepherd. If he loses even one of his flock, it's a reflection on his shepherding. If he loses even one, our good shepherd could report back to his father, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost but the son of perdition." You see, Christ has staked His own reputation. Christ has staked the honor of His name on His saving and His shepherding of His people. And if one is lost, it's a reflection on Him. Now that has two implications for us. The fact that His motivation is for His own name's sake, it has two implications for us. For one thing, it gives us a wonderful confidence, not in ourselves, but in Him. If He's doing this for His own name's sake, it gives us a wonderful confidence. Moses was very bold in his dealings with the Lord. And Moses ventured to say this to the Lord, that if he did not bring his people safely to the promised land, it would reflect on his own good name. And the Egyptian would say it was because he wasn't able. And Moses, as it were, thrust that into God's face. He said to God, in effect, "Your good name, your reputation, depends on bringing your people safely home. If Christ's good name is bound up with my salvation, then I can be very sure that if I'm trusting Him, He will bring me safely through, even for His own name's sake." That is His motivation. And it must be mine as well. That's the second implication. You see, if He does this for the sake of His good name, And so that that name may not be blasphemed by the enemies of the Lord. David forgot that once or more than once. And the name and the enemies of the Lord did blaspheme the Lord's good name. But if it is for the sake of his good name, and that that name may not be blasphemed by the enemies of the Lord, then I will seek by his grace not to dishonor his name, but to walk in paths of righteousness, trusting him and following him in faith and in obedience. I won't let his name down. It'll never be my doing, but it will be his. He'll enable me unto his name. To all eternity will be all the glory. The good shepherd, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Let us pray.